All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 195, I believe.
Wow.
Deborah,
hey.
Are you there?
I am here.
How's everything going on your end?
Everything's going pretty well.
Yeah.
Pretty well. Yeah.
What's life like in California right now?
Oh, kind of stagnant, actually. It's not, I mean, other than, you know, the same old San Francisco debacle, not a whole lot going on. School started, so.
Yeah. What's the
much.
What's the debacle in San Francisco?
Oh, you know, everybody's shutting down and moving out. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah, I remember earlier this summer, Charlie Robinson did an episode of Macroaggressions about all the vacant commercial real estate in San Francisco. And it was mostly office space, but a lot of retail as well. And it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's a huge
deal. When I was still living in San Francisco and working in the Elevator Constructors Union, I built that 58-story building, 181 Fremont Street. And 58 stories, huge, across the street from the Salesforce Tower, so it kind of got dwarfed by that building. But still pretty big, biggest thing I ever worked on, bigger than any building in Portland, you know? And it's completely vacant.
Was it ever? Did it ever have tenants?
It was supposed to be, I think Facebook ended up, they were going to do the whole thing, like rent out floors of it, you know, or as much space as people needed. I think Facebook got the whole thing and then hasn't done anything with it.
You know, Salesforce had their Dreamforce. I think it was over the weekend, or maybe it's still going on right now. And is it Mark Benioff who's Salesforce?
I think so.
He said something about if his attendees get hassled by homeless or, you know, any scary stuff happens, it'll be the last Salesforce in San Francisco, or Dreamforce.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole area down there, Fremont Street, is I think going to be a ghost town. And then the Westfield, is Westfield going to close all the way down?
Yep.
I remember last I heard it was under 50% occupied.
Yeah. What I heard is that they just gave back their keys and said, we're not going to pay the mortgage anymore, so here you go.
Just all the different businesses? Or
Westfield, the Westfield Corporation, or whoever they are.
Okay, so the corporation shut it down after enough businesses were like, we can't do it here anymore.
Yeah, Nordstrom's gone. Yeah, I don't know who else is gone, but
yeah. I remember I saw that after I left, a new Whole Foods opened up down there, and it's already closed down.
Already closed.
Yeah, I never went to that one, so.
Yeah, they still have the one like in the Castro, and I don't know where else they are in the city.
Yeah,
they
the one on Church and Market there. That's where I used to go.
Yeah. And it's just crazy.
If you think about it, I mean, you know about the Rust Belt and like all these, I go down these weird YouTube rabbit holes every once in a while. And there's these people who make a living by just going and driving through like Gary, Indiana and Cairo, Illinois. They're all these old industrial towns. They're all in the Midwest, a lot in Chicago or in Illinois, Missouri, East St. Louis, Illinois, which is, they're all there in the Mississippi River area of the Midwest. And they're these incredible old towns with this beautiful brick architecture and stuff that were booming industrial towns in the early 20th century. And they're all gone now. It's insane. It's incredible. Like, these guys are just driving through these towns, and they're all boarded up and just nothing there. There's like nobody walking around there. There's incredibly high crime rates, but he's just like driving around midday and there's nobody. It's really creepy and eerie.
Really awful.
You can go and like buy like whole city blocks. I mean, if you could do it somehow safely, like build a giant cinder block fortress around your property, you could buy like a whole city block, and all these they call it urban prairie, and all these blocks have gone back to nature, you know. But they're just like,
That be fun just to build yourself a big
well, that's
castle
what they've done in Detroit a whole bunch.
and
On these like burnt out blocks, people have started making like urban homesteading and farming.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, you got to do that in like the middle of a horrible ghetto, you know, so you got to worry about that. But
I
it's
told you about all the acres in the Solano area that are being bought up.
yeah, I just looked at that 15 minutes ago. This, what's it called? Something California.
I don't know the name.
So they're gonna make
A new city.
it's like making a technologically driven smart city, right? And who's it gonna be marketed to? Like wealthy tech people?
I really don't know. I mean, that's not an area that's like a hop, skip, and a jump. It's pretty far from, the Bay Area. It's not impossible, but it's
Yeah,
a
but I mean,
good.
if the Bay Area is Gary, Indiana in 10 years, if San Francisco's gone, if there's nobody there anymore, then you just move up the up 80, so it's up there by Fairfield, right? In between Sacramento and San Francisco, pretty much. Closer to Sacramento.
I think so.
The guy bought somebody some companies bought 50,000 a 50,000 acre tracked by Sassoon City or Solano or something up there, right? Yeah.
It's all the Silicon Valley execs.
Yeah, it's right by Travis Air Force Base, also close to the Vacaville Correctional Facility, which is MK Ultra hospital, prison for the mentally insane. It's where Charles Manson was. But
There was also just a little story. I tried to find more about it, and I didn't get a chance to dig deep enough. In San Jose County, they have quarantined an area because of the fruit flies. They have an infestation of this different kind of fruit fly.
wow. So what does the quarantine entail?
You can't throw your fruit in recycling. You have to put it in the garbage. You can't share any of your fruit. You can't take fruit out of this quarantine area. It's kind of silly. It's kind of
Crazy.
crazy.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to enforce that. But other than all that craziness, what else has been going on? Same old story.
Same old. I was in Tahoe last weekend with group of eight women that I went to college with, my annual college girls trip.
Cool. How'd it go?
It was great, beautiful in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, it's nice up there. Did you go swimming?
Absolutely. No, I don't like cold water,
Yeah, that
but I
water's
did
very cold.
very, very cold. I did put my feet in the Truckee River up to my ankles. That's the limit.
Yeah,
How
I
about you?
suppose.
What's going on with you? You got lots going on.
I mean, September and May are like the most beautiful months here, you know. So May's nice because it's leading into like a nicer part of the year. September's kind of winding it down, and you know, it's weird. It's Some days have been kind of pretty cool in the high 60s, but it's pretty muggy. And then it's going to heat up to like 90 this week, a couple days, and it's going to be all over the place. But
Crazy.
then one day it's just going to be 40 and rainy for 9 months. So,
Oh,
but yeah, everything's going here. I'm just trying to get everything buttoned up for the wintertime, get all the animals organized. I'm building a new pig pen to put the piglets in,
The escape
because
artists.
yeah, I've got them all everything all secured and everybody's all in. I'm just gonna make it bigger. I'm gonna make a little run or a big run for all the piglets once they're weaned from their mom. And
wow, they're still not weaned?
they're weaned. I'm just saying for future piglets
Oh,
and
for
stuff,
future. Okay.
because I have it right now where the Pigward, my boar, and Eleanor, the sow, are in separate pens, so they don't keep breeding, you know? The piglets can run in between the two of them because they can get through like this little gate. I could close that off too, but pretty quick here. I castrated all the boys when they were little guys. So they're not, I don't have to worry about them, but pretty quick here, the two girl piglets I have might be at risk of becoming pregnant from their dad if I don't keep them away from them. So I'm trying to, I got to build this other little run for them. And then yeah, I got all the boy, the little lamb rams. I got them separated with the two other big rams, and we'll probably eat all of them, I think. And but they're in a separate area that I made another fence out in the pasture, so there's a new whole new area for them. And
Wow.
yeah, the homestead's doing well. It's looking good out there. So
You still have the cows on your land?
yeah, I told the people that are renting out that part of the pasture that they need to be out of there by the first of the month. I think they're coming on the 3rd of October, and they're gonna get them out of here. Oh,
Yeah.
we shouldn't have rented it out, you know.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, there was no benefit to it. They just like ate up all the grass over there. I could have turned it into hay, and you know, they were paying me like $80 a month for that whole area, which isn't, you know, doesn't really benefit us in any way. It's not like we needed the $80. But yeah, other than that, not much going on. Emily and I went out for a big night last night. We went down to Troutdale, Oregon. There's a big concert venue there, and we saw the Pixies play. It was fun. I'm glad we went. You know, we both, every time we go out, we get to some place. Like if we ever go to an event, which is a few times a year, very rare, we're like in the driving into the parking lot, and we look at each other and we go, man, I wish we were at home. So we thought the Pixies would have been headlining. It was Pixies and Modest Mouse. So we got there a little late because we were like, oh, I don't want to see Modest Mouse. I don't really care about them. And we were like pulling into the parking lot, and we hear the Pixies start playing. So it ended up being good. We got in there and you know, saw them play, and we're able to get out of there and get home by before 10 o'clock, which is pretty late for us. But you know, it's funny, as soon as like they played Where's My Mind, like 50% of the crowd left, you know. So people
Why?
were,
I don't know that song.
oh, you know that song. It's like their most famous song.
Okay. I know
Yeah,
one Pixie song, I think.
that's probably the one.
Probably.
Cool. Yeah, it was good people watching, and you know, we got to go out for a nice dinner, all that stuff. And yeah. But other than that, guys, we are value for value. And all the links to support the show are in the show notes. At this point, we're not really deserving of anything quite yet. We just want to get everybody back and back resubscribe to the show, get the numbers up. So if you can recommend us to family, friends, parents, brothers, uncles, sisters, children, dogs, cats, everybody. We'd
We
really
like them
appreciate
all.
it, and we've got some great shows coming up for you. We've got the next show we do is going to be a fun one. It is going to be with the guys from PsyOps Cinema, and we are going to be doing a deep dive into Jacob's Ladder. So Deborah, that show's on Monday, so we got to watch Jacob's Ladder before then. We
Okay.
got to take notes, we got to make up questions because those guys go deep. They're going to be going
All
deeper.
right.
And if you have, go check out those guys. They've done a ton of great shows with Jay Dyer, William Ramsey, Sean McCann, a bunch of old friends of the show. Well, Jay Dyer's not a friend of the show because he won't return my emails, but I do enjoy his content. But other than that, yeah, and we got Don Jeffries and a whole bunch of people. going doing deep parapolitics. I'm reading Masking the Truth by Don Jeffries right now. But this week we are blessed to have Billy Ray Valentine. He's in the waiting room. Let's let him in.
Hey.
He's connecting to audio. Billy Ray Valentine. Wile E. Coyote. Are you there?
There he is. Hey.
What's up? How you doing?
We are doing good. We are live.
Wow.
How's it going?
Right into the boiling pot.
Yeah. out of the fire into the pot.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're happy to have you here. You're one of the oldest friends of the show that we still interact with. I'm on the phone with you, at least texting back and forth a couple times a week. I'm always happy to see texts from you and things like that. I recently sent you a text, Latinos for Trump, your thoughts.
Deborah, how are you?
Well, good response. To see you. Nice to see you also.
And Adam, it's a pleasure, you know, and I love the fact that throughout, right, doing this alternative media thing that I get to meet such amazing people, right, that I otherwise wouldn't have gotten to meet. And we forge friendships, right? And you can send me things like Latinos for Trump, and that's, you know, amusing to me, to say the least. We're doing a MAGA rap part 3. With John Brissom and Conspiracy Kyle. He's going to join us.
Cool.
You're more than welcome to hop on.
Love to. Right. Does Latinos for Trump, does the video make the cut this time?
Holy, of course. Of course it makes the cut. There is no way in hell that we can do one of these episodes without talking about Latinos for Trump.
What are some of the other hits that have come out since your last episode with John?
Fagadio Blow, who is the focus of a lot of our wrath, because he is the most prominent. He's the Kendrick Lamar of MAGA rap.
Yeah,
he has recently done a rap song with Michael Flynn.
Oh, is Michael Flynn got bars? As Michael the kids say,
well, he doesn't rap. If Michael Flynn rapped, it'd be mind blowing for me. But he is. In the video, prominently, he has nothing better to do than to go on a low-budget, third-rate rapper's video and, you know, puff out his peacock feathers. I don't get it personally, you know, but hey, it's a thing. So we like talking about it, you know, and making fun of it. But I've been going back and forth in my, and this isn't going to stop the episode from going out, by the way. We're going to do this episode and I'm going to make fun of all of this stuff. But I think about it sometimes, like, is it the most effective thing to do, or does it just like, cause more division, right? For people that are already on that side, like, oh, this guy's making fun of it. I think it's funny. I legit think this stuff is hilarious, right? And it's really bad music at that. I'm a big music.
Well, you liked the CCP one though, right?
Well, no, the only reason I liked it was because it's so funny. I like train wrecks, right? I like watching bad movies that are really, really bad, but were supposed to be good. Not movies that are intentionally bad, even those are good too, but movies that were made by someone and this was somebody's masterwork, right? But it's just crap. Like obvious crap. I like watching stuff like that.
Like Waterworld.
I actually kind of liked Waterworld. Maybe it's because of that.
That was so long ago.
Right, right. Well, you know, hey, it's a classic.
Was like Mad Max with jet skis.
With water? Mad Max on water. Or Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
So bad.
Dalton was the number one cooler in the biz, man.
Yes, I had to look up what a cooler meant. I had no idea.
Well,
what is a cooler?
He's like, go ahead, Adam.
It's a movie about Patrick Swayze as like he's a bouncer at this real rough and rowdy honky tonk where like just like a bar fight would turn into someone trying to stab somebody like 8 times a night at this bar, right. You know.
Oh,
it must be if this were true, meaning Roadhouse, right? Not that they're actual coolers, but if Roadhouse was true, It's the most stressful job in the history of the planet, and no one can pay me enough to do it, or anyone else for that matter. But Patrick Swayze, rest in peace. You know, a super good looking guy, about 5'9". All the girls wanted him, and he can kick the ass out of any guy there. You know, it was prototypical 80s. It was so dope. It was so bad that it was amazingly good. And I continue to watch every time it's on television. That's how. And yeah, I know it's also a bad movie.
It's got Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott is
then,
cool.
Love him. The right. Love
I like
interest.
Sam Elliott.
The love interest is the ER doctor who stitches right. him up after one particularly tough night. Did right. you know Did you? Billy Ray Valentine? I was a door guy at some places where I had no business working in downtown Oakland, all over the East Bay for a long time.
This is new to me. I did not know this. Were you a cooler?
I technically was a cooler, man. I worked down in the thick of it, man. It was pretty gnarly.
I'm impressed. I couldn't do anything like that. I'd let the bar fight happen and walk right out.
Like, cool. Yeah.
You guys go handle that.
But yourselves.
It was during like the economic downturn, you know, 2008 era. I didn't have a job, and it was the only thing I could do. And I was working at places when I was drinking very heavily that would let me drink on the job. So I had that going for me. So,
well, you know what? Like, you make a good point, right? Like, I always tell my wife, I will do anything. That doesn't mean I want to do it.
Yeah.
But I'll go do it if we need it, right? If we need to survive, right? And so many people in the inner cities find themselves in that predicament. I've never found myself. We've been poor our entire lives, right? But we've never found, thank to the Lord, that we've never been in a position where we've had to do things like that. And I would like to think that even if I was in that position, I would avoid it until I absolutely had to, like, go steal something. And maybe that would be the extent of what I would do. I would, like, go into a supermarket and try to steal stuff or something, right? Because we had to eat, like, if it was desperation like that. But in the inner city, that's something that people don't really pay enough attention to or realize the conditions and why people do what they do. It's not because they just want to get up and do it or they're bad people. No. There's necessity. You know, there's necessity. So in times of necessity, you either get innovation or desperation, sometimes both. Right. And we'll see how people adapt to try to survive. Right. And these environments are created, you know, by bad policy and sometimes more than that, you know, so right. That's something we need to look at. But just to circle back around, that's the reason I liked, not because of poverty or anything, just the reason I liked Take Down the CCP was because it was a train wreck, you know. And I remember listening to Steve Bannon's War Room. I like to torture myself from time to time and tune into that. Right. And in the background, when they go to commercials, it was like, Take Down the CCP. And I'm like, what is that? Like, I
and
had
it was
to...
Miles Guo. Was that
Miles
the...
Guo? Miles, and I already knew about Miles Guo because famously he performed a blood ritual. And I could, John Brissom called me up one day and said, you got to see this. Miles Guo and Steve Bannon are in front of the Statue of Liberty performing a blood ritual. I'm like, no, you're lying to me. This cannot be true. This cannot be true. It's something out of professional wrestling. It's something, you know, like some crazy nonsense like that. Sends me the clip. There goes Miles Guo cutting his finger, doing a whole blood ritual. I don't think Steve Bannon actually cut his finger, but he was fully endorsing everything that was going on. You know,
well, that is, I mean, Miles Guo,
a Chinese billionaire who wants to take down the CCP at all cost. He is the Donald Trump of China, works okay. intimately with Steve Bannon and spreads a lot of, in my opinion, disinformation. Even though I believe that Miles Guo is a true believer. I think he believes what he's putting out, you know. But I don't know that for a fact. He could be a disinfo agent. I think he believes it. But he was recently arrested by the FBI here in New York because he couldn't be in China. So he was here in New York. Chinese government wants him. And he was living in a penthouse here in New York, an $8 million penthouse. I mean, this guy has some serious money. Steve Bannon used to hang with him on his yacht out here. That's where Steve Bannon got arrested, on Miles Gwile's yacht. You know, and then they went and got Miles Gwile. And then suspiciously, a fire broke out in that building, which is, I don't know the specifics behind it, but that was the conspiracy mulling around. But he is a known figure in far right circles, supporters of Trump and far right conspiracies like QAnon and so on and so forth.
We got to get John Brisson to do a version of Take Down the CCP, but we got to get him to do Take Down the CNP.
Awesome. We're doing that. We're all doing it. It'll
like
be
same, you know, just a parody version of it.
Freeworld.fm's version of Take Down the CNP. We'll do it together. It'll be like We Are the World. We'll get Charlie Robinson to do a piece and Tony Arterburn to do something. You guys will be there. Okay. You know, we'll get everybody to spit a verse and it'll be fantastic. That's an excellent idea. I wish I would have came up with it myself. Yeah. Things are crazy. I want to hear Deborah's take on all of this. I love Deborah's take all the time.
Well, before Deborah's take, will you tell us about the Free World weekend that just happened?
I had a lot of fun. You know, I had a lot of fun this weekend. We're doing it again next year. Just to give you guys a heads up, I'd love to see you there. Let me see what I can do to bring you here. Okay. Like we have a year to think about this, right?
Yeah.
And I mean both of you. If only one of you can make it, I get it. You know, but I'd like to see both of you there. And so let's talk about this. But it was fantastic. It was an excellent weekend. It wasn't as well attended as I wanted it to be. You know, I did one of these things in 2019 and we had to turn people away. So I was expecting the same type of turnout. It didn't work out that way. We still had people there, though, that some people came down from Canada. Shout to the man in the back, the guy in the back, I think the dude in the back. I forget. He's going to email me. That's his name. He's like, I came from Canada. I listened to your show and I'm the guy in the back. Cause I told him, I'm like, move up, sit in the front, sit further up. And he's like, no, it's kind of my thing. I'm the guy in the back. And I'm like, okay. Which was really cool, you know? It was fun to see Tony. I had never met Tony Arterburn before, even though we spend every weekend together. Right. And we talk like, as much as I talk to Adam, you know, I talk to Tony. And Don, whom I've been doing shows with for I don't know how many years now, out of Iconic and now just America Unplugged. I mean, it's been a long time, you know, and I had never met him. So it was really, really cool. Don came late to the event, so I had to go get him, but he already made it. When I was on my way to go get him, he had already come. He took it upon himself to make it. So I walk into the auditorium arena. Delusions of grandeur, right? We're gonna do it later. We're gonna fill up a couple of arenas. But I walked into the auditorium and he was sitting there when I walked in. Charlie was on stage. I was like, oh my God, Don. And I gave him a big hug. It was good to see him. Wayne McCroy, I've met him before, but it's always good to see Wayne. And he did an incredible presentation on subliminal messaging. It was really, really well done. And Wayne opened up the show. So it was really hard to follow something like that. It's I'm going to send you guys a link to it because there's video out there. A gentleman that's affiliated with AM Wake Up filmed the entire thing. I have to get in contact with him. But I do have versions of it that streamed online, so I'll get it to you. I had an excellent time. Richard Gage was on and he did a great job at tearing apart the 9/11 narrative, as he always does. He's an incredible presenter. He has incredible charisma. Even if you don't want to listen, he's going to make you listen. You may not agree, but he's going to make you listen. He's that type of presenter. You know, it was good to see the people. It was good to hang with some of the listeners, you know, and we learned a couple of things, you know, on what not to do, how to do things, you know, so we're going to implement those things and move forward with it. So let's looking forward to next year. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded like a really awesome event. Somebody from my Telegram chat was there. Sambo Truth 75 is his name on my Telegram chat. He said he was there, and he said it was an awesome time. So,
what's up, Sambo?
Yeah. So what did Charlie talk about?
Well, I missed like half of Charlie's speech because I went out to go get Don.
Got during it.
You know, so which sucked because I really wanted to see him talk. But everybody had a 9/11 related talk.
Okay, cool.
The theme was 9/11. You know, Tony talked about his experience in Afghanistan and in the military, and
which was a result of 9/11 happened.
Direct result of 9/11. You know, and he
now he's a veteran of 3 foreign wars because of that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, and if it wasn't for 9/11. I wouldn't know Tony. I wouldn't know him. I wouldn't know you guys either, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a pivotal event in my life. And I always try to do something when it's time, when 9/11 comes around. I try to do some activism. I've changed my views on a lot of things, of course, as you, when you learn, you know, you start living and experiencing and getting exposed to different things. And it's like, oh, okay, so... And it's not above me to say that I was wrong, you know.
Yeah, that's what makes you the best in the biz, man.
So. Oh, man, you're so kind, bro. Thank you so much. It's really nice of you. It's not even close, but but that's really nice of you. But yeah. So some of my views on 9/11 have changed. Like I used to say, it was an inside job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while I still dabble with those ideas, and they're still some evidence. I can't prove that. I can't say it was an inside job. For sure. So what I do say is, you know, investigate 9/11. You know, mm-hmm. there are some anomalies that need answering, and we demand the answers for them, right? And then that I can prove. That I can honestly stand in front of somebody and have an intelligent debate with them about the anomalies, right? About the question. You know, and even the New York Post actually published something which was shocking to me about Building 7, you know, and how the University of Alaska did a study about how fires did not bring down that building.
Yeah, that's that University of Alaska Fairbanks study, right?
Right. And the New York Post made reference to it. That's a big deal. You know, I mean, not that it'll change anything, but it's a big deal to see it acknowledged. In a major publication like that. So you know, it may bring more people to the knowledge. It may bring more people to try to investigate or just dig around and see what they find, you know, and hopefully one of those people is the Neo, right? The Neo to our Matrix, right? That'll see it and change something, right? That's what we're looking for. So
yeah,
try to let the TV move away. What's up?
I think it's truly the JFK assassination of our generation, you know, and we're, as more time goes from the event, more and more theories of what went on are popping out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, we saw that with JFK as well.
People who are too afraid to speak up. Well,
right. You know, I know.
There's that security guard, or what was he? He was a guard on the car that Kennedy was in, who just recently came forward,
right,
and said he found the third bullet. Or
yeah, he said he played. He did something with the magic bullet.
Wow.
I kind of subscribe to this guy Corey Hughes's ideas on JFK, and he's already torn that guy's stuff apart. So yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Speaking of that, Billy, how many, when you first started entertaining that 9/11 was an inside job, as you previously used to say, what was your entry point into it? Was it loose change?
No, it wasn't. All right. So I'll tell you a quick version of the story, right? During 9/11, on the day of, I was at the MetLife building. I came outside and I saw the towers on fire, and I immediately walked down to the World Trade Center area. I used to work across the street. I used to work inside the towers. I went to a high school across the street. I had a lot of roots there. I knew a lot of people.
How far was the building you were at from the towers?
It's pretty far. I was in Midtown. Okay. You know, it's about an hour walk.
Got it.
If in a car, it's about 20 minutes, maybe. If there's no traffic, you can make it, you know, but with traffic, it could take a bit longer. On the train, it's fairly quick to get down there. It's just nothing was going on. You know, the streets were flooded with people. The only way to get there was on foot. My girlfriend, who is now my wife, was on 23rd Street or something. So I needed to go get her. But I wanted to go get my cousin as well, who was going to high school at the same place that I went to high school. I was already gone, but he was still there. You know, so I was like, I got to go get him. So in 98, somebody handed me Behold a Pale Horse. That's the William Cooper book. Right. And they were like, you would really want to read this. This looks right up your alley. Cause I always questioned everything anyway. So I started reading it and I was like, I couldn't put it down. I was like, I knew it. It just affirmed ideas that I had in my mind. Right? You know, and even though there's so much wrong with that book, I still keep it. You know, it still has a warm place in my heart. I've purchased about 8 or 9 versions of this thing because I keep giving it away to people.
Yeah, I mean, pretty soon. I mean, there's some copies that have like 100 pages less than the original. You know, like they're just.
I'm so looking different. For a new edition. I mean, for the first edition, if I can find it, I'll pay.
Yeah, I've been looking for them too.
Somebody has it. We got to keep saying it. Somebody has that thing that's willing to sell it. I want one. So
I mean, yeah, I love books. I don't want to read it. I mean, I've already gone through it enough. If you want to know about Bill Cooper, read Pale Horse Rider. You know, that's
oh my
that's
god, and that was another eye-opening thing. Like, it just as you live, more things become apparent to you, and you know what, that was an excellent book.
That was my first you know, had this person up on a pedestal just because of their name, and I read that book and I was like, oh, this guy's a piece of crap. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of things wrong, got some stuff right, you used to play that episode every year before 9/11. Yeah, of him predicting.
I'm gonna do it again. Like, I know it's past 9/11, but I'm gonna put it up now. I just didn't have the time because of Free World. But anyway, go ahead.
On Hour of the Time, Bill Cooper, what in July or yeah. June?
July
predicts 9/11 happening. Says right. they're gonna blame it on Osama bin Laden. Don't believe them for a second.
Right, and you can't take that away from him. He did it, and then Alex Jones copied him and claimed that he did it. But it was Bill Cooper first. So somebody handed me that book and I was reading it. And I did a presentation in college about it, my first year in college. And it was a disaster because I really didn't know what I was talking about. And I got laughed out of the room or whatever. So I still read some of it, but I kind of put it down. But I did give it to my cousin, same cousin that was down at the World Trade Center. I was like, read this. So he kept reading. He kept investigating. He kept doing. I went down to get him. Luckily, he wasn't there. He was, but he turned around. You know, he never made it into school because the planes had already hit. So he turned around and went back. 5 years after the fact, no, or was it five or it was in 2005 that I'm having a conversation with my cousin and he tells me, he's like, everything you know about 9/11 is wrong. And I told him, how so? I'm like, I was there. Like, I was there. I saw one of the towers collapse. You were there. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, man, no. And I was very dismissive. I wasn't trying to hear him. You know how life has a way of humbling people, man. You know, so ever since that moment, I try not to do that, even though I'm only human. So I've done it before, of course. But I always remember that point in my life. And he told me, everything you know about 9/11 is wrong. And I'm like, bullshit. And I told him, give me your sources and I will chop them apart, you know. So he gave me prisonplanet.com.
Got it.
That was Alex Jones, right? And he gave me David Icke, right? And I went on David Icke. I was reading, he started talking about lizards. I'm like, you know. but I bought Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disasters, but this was after the fact, right? So the one that turned me was on Alex Jones. He had prisonplanet.tv and he had free previews of documentaries. And he had a documentary up there called The Great Illusion by George Humphreys. And I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, that's nonsense what he's saying. And that's nonsense, just taking different parts and saying they were nonsense because they weren't sourced. At least they weren't sourced immediately. So I'm like, this guy, how does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. I was dismissing it off the bat. But then he said, not to mention that some of the 9/11 hijackers are alive and well. But he showed a BBC article. I said, whoa, okay, right? So I go on a search engine and I go look for it and boom, there it is. And I'm like, this has got to be a dummy site. This has got to be nonsense. This can't be real. This can't be a legit mainstream site. Somebody made this in order to hoax people. So I click on the BBC icon to see where it would take me. And it took me to the main page of the BBC. And I think I repeated the process a few times because I still didn't believe it. And then I knew I had a problem. And I was like, all right. So I'm being lied to about something. You know, somebody's lying. And that's what did it. It was that. So Loose Change kind of came about. I don't remember when Loose Change actually came out, but I found out about it after that, after the George Humphreys documentary was out. And Anthony Hilder was another one that he put out a documentary, 9/11, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold. And it was fantastic. It was just like, it was cinematically fantastic. Like the guy knew what he was doing. That's where we get the name Free World, because he had a website called the freeworldalliance.com. I thought it was dope. I got to it after the fact. It was already a shell of what it was. So we took that and did freeworld.fm. It mirrors that website. But he put it, those were the two documentaries that did it. And then I bought David Icke, Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disasters. I still have it in my closet. The original one that I bought, I taped it together. I think David signed it for me when I met him, you know? So, I mean, it's in the worst shape because I've read it several times but it means something to me. So that's what turned me. That's what did it.
Yeah. From that point until now, how many different iterations of what you believe happened have you gone through, do you think?
Yeah, it keeps changing. It keeps changing all the time. I can't commit to a position ever. I don't think I can ever commit. I just don't know enough. No matter how much you know, you just don't know.
What do you favor right now?
Well, I think we were lied to about the event. I think that can be proven. You know, I can talk to anyone, somebody who believes or someone who doesn't believe, and I can point out prior knowledge. There was prior knowledge to 9/11 about the event. There was prior knowledge. This is not debatable. There was prior knowledge as far back as 1976. You know, mainstream articles that the Associated Press had put out or the Pentagon had put out stuff. You know, there were drills the morning of.
Right.
Tons of them. I think it's a Vigilant Citizen. I forget the name of it's Webster Tarpley put them out. Webster Tarpley was famous for putting these things out or exposing them. All the drills that took place. FEMA was there, you know.
Yeah. Who is it? The NORAD guy that's saying, is this real life or, you know?
Yeah. Is it a simulation or is this real? Like that? Or is this live or what? You know, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, so that stuff we can prove. I can say that there was faulty reporting, right, on 9/11, especially with the identities of the 9/11 hijackers. They're still in question today. You know, if you go on FBI.gov, they're still in question. They say it right now, you know, that they still haven't confirmed the identities of the 9/11 hijackers. And Osama bin Laden has never been charged for September 11th, 2001. It's never been done. And these are things that can be proven. We can handle them. We can grab them. They're tangible, you know. So these are things that I stick to. Building 7 is another thing. Nothing hit it, you know. But it came down, and it's the only one out of three in the history of time. You know that's happened.
That's the thing that I can't understand is that there's people like you. Listen to like Ryan Dawson or like Scott Horton, they'll call you a stupid idiot kook because you don't believe that office furniture brought down Tower 7.
Right. You know, it's and I'm pretty hard on QAnon and the conspiracies that have come out of the far right nowadays. But it's kind of the same thing, right? When people that don't believe the 9/11 narrative call people idiots and stupid, right? It's counterproductive. I think there's a better way to, and this is another thing that I'm learning that I'm trying to adapt to, because it's infuriating some of the things that have come out of the far right right now. And I think it does damage to real investigations on things like 9/11, right? Because they all get lumped in together and get immediately discredited. So somebody in the mainstream is looking at it and they say, well, these people believe in QAnon. They're freaking crazy. So why am I talking about Building 7? They don't care. They're not looking into it. They're not paying attention to it. They don't even know what Building 7 is 9 times out of 10. Right. They're just like, you're crazy. It's hard for people to come to terms with that their government can do something like this to them. Now, we know better because it's admitted that the government has been experimenting on us for a long, long time. And the most mainstream example of it is Tuskegee, right? Everybody knows about that, you know, but it's hard for some people to come to terms with it's happening now and it's happening in your lifetime and it's happening to you, you know, so they'll just say, no, that's nonsense and keep right on walking, you know, so that's why just because it makes sense to you and me doesn't mean it's going to make sense to someone else. We're all sitting in this theater, but we all have different positions in the theater.
Right.
You and I are sitting in the center, maybe, while they're sitting on the left over there. So we're looking at the same thing from different views. We don't have the full picture. We have a couple of pieces. They have a couple of pieces. And the goal is confusion. No one knows. And they keep us at each other's throats, whether it be by political ideology, for sexual division, racial division, you name it. They just keep throwing it all out there to keep us against each other. That's the ultimate goal of this thing, you know. So sometimes, you know, we here in the alternative media play into it. I try not to, but I know I do, especially when it comes to QAnon and the far right, because it's just ridiculous to me, you know. Just like that guy said that 9/11 people that believe that 9/11 was an inside job is ridiculous. That's the way I feel about QAnon. Right. I think I can prove that. Even though I will argue with somebody that says that 9/11 is the official story is on the up and up. The freaking 9/11 commission doesn't even mention Building 7. Right. I mean, come on. I mean, it's so easy to take apart, but
they don't mention anything about Saudi Arabia either. Right.
Nothing. I mean, it's just the worst investigation in the history of investigations.
The worst investigation since the Warren Commission. Right.
Right.
Because it's our JFK.
But yeah, so I don't want to be divisive, you know, but what we do it in the alternative media. Oh, look at those people wearing face diapers, you know, to people that wear masks. And oh, look at this, the sheeple, you know, oh my God, you're crazy. But they call us crazy and then we get triggered, you know, but right. it's fine if we point in that direction and say, you're sheep. I stopped doing that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope that I could get to a point where I can try to engage people that side on the far right and maybe have open dialogue. And I do sometimes, but a lot of times it's because I believe there's a bigger agenda here. And here's my tinfoil hat, right? But I believe I can prove it to a certain degree. You know, it's culture manipulation and mental colonization. Fourth generation and fifth generation of warfare that's taken place. And this is something that Michael Flynn has written extensively about. This is not something that is drawn out of the ether that people just pick out and said, I channeled this information. No, no, no. This is something that we can prove that the military has come out and says, we are looking for people to wage mind warfare on our people. All right, this the Ghost in the Machine. But I always, when I saw that, I couldn't believe it. Go to the Ghost. Just look up Ghost in the Machine, U.S. Army on YouTube.
It's terrifying. that yeah. was a commercial that they thought that they could put out and people would be like, oh, I mean, I guess people did see it and are like, oh, wow, I'd like to join the PsyOps division, I guess.
Some people did. And that's what they wanted.
Right. I'll make this point, then we should ask Deborah if she's got anything to add. It's crazy to me that people would on like where I would fall would probably be on the more right side of the alternative media, I guess.
Right.
And I got tricked, you know, just like everybody. I mean, not tricked into like Trump or anything, but I got tricked into defending him a ton during you know the past 6 years or whatever. But the fact that people on my side, I'll call it my side, I hope it's not my side anymore. But the fact that people will talk all day about Colonel Michael Aquino, who was from PSYOP to Mind War or whatever, he was and people know that he was the PSYOPs guy. But then when it comes to Michael Flynn, you know, they can't make that connection that maybe he's the new version of it. Have you ever thought of that?
They refuse to make that connection, or they just don't know. Hold on for a second. Or they just don't know, right? And ignorance is bliss in a lot of time. I see people in the alternative media, and this is what infuriates me about this. I see people in the alternative media that know better, right? They know better about this whole deal, but they still say that Michael Flynn should be in office. That he should be the next Secretary of Defense when Donald Trump takes office again. That's a problem. Given everything that we can trace back to Michael Flynn, he is a mind warfare agent, you know, for the United States government and possibly for Britain. This can be proven. You know, these are things we can talk about all day long, you know, Cambridge Analytica, right? And the SEL group, he was an employee of them, you know, and that's what they do. They specialized in it.
Yeah. And and possibly a aspiring hip hop star. So who knows? Deborah, what are your thoughts on what we've been saying? Sorry to kind of exclude you there for a minute.
I know,
you know, we brought up 9/11 with you at episode number two. And I think it started working a little bit into your brain. You seeing video of Donald Rumsfeld out there going through the debris the morning after.
Looking for his billions.
Yeah. thoughts, questions, anything for Billy Ray?
Well, I would love to know. I mean, Adam already asked what your current belief is.
Let's get specific.
Okay, about 9/11 and who was responsible, who knew, who didn't know.
I think at a bare minimum, the United States government knew and let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best case scenario. I don't think we go past that.
Okay.
They at least knew. They trained these hijackers, you know, admittedly, you know. So how does this happen? I don't understand it. I don't get it. So my current my position is that they're at the floor of this conspiracy theory. The base, you know, is the floor is that the U.S. government knew and did nothing about it. You know, I mean, we can keep building on that and see what actually develops. But I like to say, I don't know what happened. I think the official story is riddled with a lot of holes and leaves a lot of things unexplained. And I want answers for these things.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the answers and I will go away. Really, really. Just give me the answers and good, bad, ugly. And I will, if they're ugly, I probably won't go away, you know, but still, like, I mean, just give me the answers, right? I think I deserve to know. I think the American public and the people of the world deserve to know. But they leave these open questions in order for us to speculate and unknowingly muddy the waters, you know, I forget the exact quote, but things like this, like questions that are left unanswered are the breeding ground for a conspiracy theory. People are going to try to answer those questions. right? People are going to try to fill those holes with their own theories. Many times the theories are wrong. Sometimes they're based on reality. You know, they're based, there's something there, you know, but many times, you know, it just serves to take away from the truth of the situation. And I think a lot of times that's what they want. And by they, I mean the people that are responsible for this. And I do think that there are elements in the United States government that are responsible for this. I think there are elements in the Saudi Arabian government that are responsible for this. This is I think this is a multi-layered operation, what happened on 9/11. And, you know, they say that if too many people know the secret, that it's going to get out. Well, it has gotten out, right? It's just how many people are willing to believe, right? How many people are willing to believe what might be the truth, or how many people would just rather buy into the lie and continue living their lives? And that's what's going on here. They can lay the truth out on the road. How many people are going to pick that up? Because the truth hurts, right? The truth stings. The truth is uncomfortable. It's not easy to swallow, right? So how many people are going to take that route when they can continue walking the other way and it's all nice and cushiony? Everything's all good. Nothing changed.
You don't have to worry about it.
Right. So that's my current position. You know, I've been going back and forth with some people that have, you know, put me onto different information, different takes on 9/11, and it's appealing to me. It makes sense to me, some of it, in particular about the hijackers, right? Because that is what was the catalyst for me to get into it, was that article, right? And I believed for a long time. I still do. I'm not gone from that part of the conspiracy, right? I still believe that their identities were in question. I have a hard time believing that they would take over a plane with box cutters. I just have a really hard time believing that. I really do. Like, I know for a fact that if I was on a plane and somebody tried to take it over with a box cutter, they'd be in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Like, good luck trying to pull that off, you know? Maybe they said there's a plane. I mean, there's a bomb. But I mean, if you managed to get a bomb on the plane, you would think you would manage to bring some guns on too, right? Instead of a box cutter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. You know, so I have a hard time with that part of it. I have a hard time with some of the evidence, you know, the passport, of course. A lot of these things were left there for us to chase. Who left them there?
Yeah.
Right. And why did they leave them there? It's like Epstein's Island. You know, they went and raided Epstein's Island, you know, and they took everything that they wanted, the FBI, right? Then a couple of people from the alternative media made their way over there.
That was so crazy, that video.
Right. Made their way over there. And I'm thinking to myself, is this a publicity stunt? Are you trying to get clicks? What are you trying to do? Because you know better. At least I'm giving them too much credit.
That was Luke Rutkowski and Jeff Berwick.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention the names, but you've done it. So
and they went over there after the FBI, and what was after. The point of their
they walked around?
Right. But what do you think? Right. What do you think you're going to find? What do you think you're going to find? What was the goal of that? And then they release this video, you know, of them raiding the island, or at least Luke Rudowski released the video of them raiding the. Oh, look where we are. I'm like, do you just want to get people to watch? Because what are you actually doing that's productive by going to that island after the fact? Absolutely nothing, because anything that was left there, if there was anything left there at all, anything that was left for you to find it. And that's the same thing that happened on 9/11. Whatever was there, these crumbs that were dropped were there for us to find, pick up, and run with. And that's what we did. And I did it too. You know, so I'm coming to that realization. You know, I'm like, okay, all right, I'm starting to understand what's going on here. And I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't claim to be better than anyone else or know better than anyone else. This is my own personal journey, right? And I'm following it wherever it may lead, and I thank the Lord for it. That's the best I got. So I do believe that we need to investigate 9/11. I believe the official version is nonsense. I can't come to terms with it. I want to see the video of what hit the Pentagon, a real video. I want to see it. I believe it was a plane. I still want to see it. I want to see it. Right. I want to see it because I know you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know you have it. It's just, if it's a missile, it just doesn't make it so convoluted. So many things have to go down for it to be a missile. What happened to the passengers? What happened to the plane? So you take the plane somewhere, you kill the passengers, and then you launch a missile into the Pentagon. Why not just take the plane and blow it into the Pentagon?
Isn't the hole way too small, though?
That's what they say. You know, that's what they say, that the hole is too small, that they don't have any debris.
There's no wings or anything.
Right. And there's evidence for that. Right. There was a whole report. I forget who it was. I think it was Channel 7, ABC News. The guy was out there saying there's no debris here. I don't know. I don't see it. So there's some reasonable circumstantial evidence to think that this might have been something else. And I don't want to completely rule that out. But to do the mental gymnastics also of, okay, it was a missile. So what happened to those people? Right? What happened to those people and what happened to the plane? We got to try to figure that out. I think it kind of takes us away from who did this shit.
You know? Yeah.
Well, why are you throwing me over there for me? Right.
Just the way that we would want people like, that would make that jump from there's no plane to it must have been a missile.
Right.
Like, why you make that jump? But how about Shanksville? I mean, was there a plane there?
I think so. I think they shot it down.
Yeah.
I think they shot it down.
Do you believe that report that the coroner showed up and said, there's no, why am I here? Or do you think the body's just disintegrated or?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to believe in that, in that scenario. I really don't know what to believe. I think they shot down that plane.
Got it.
And they came up with the whole let's roll narrative, you know, and they did this with Pat Tillman. Also when Pat Tillman died, they came up with an entire dummy narrative to make people sympathetic and get them to be a bit more patriotic, you know, and go along with the whole movie.
Yeah,
what's up?
What a terrible way to honor that guy's memory, who was right. Like, he was speaking out about how much of a sham our endeavor into the Middle East was and how big right. of a mistake it was that he had joined the army. Right. And then he gets killed by friendly fire and they use his death to promote exactly what he was coming right. out against.
What do you call that? It's a psychological operation waged on the American people. That's exactly what it was. We can try to sugarcoat it. We can try to put lipstick on a pig, but a pig is a pig. What did they try to do? They try to manipulate the perception of the American people, right? And that's what that is, the real conspiracy, you know. And this is why I am so passionate about it and why I'm so hard on QAnon and why I'm so hard on these things. I'm like, this is the real conspiracy. We want to analyze conspiracy theory in the alternative media, in the truth movement, in the freedom movement. That's what we want to do. So let's do it. Let's analyze the real. But so many people don't want to talk about the real. They want to talk about the nonsense that's been placed in front of them. And it kind of messes with me. I don't know where I'll be 2-3 years from now. Might come back on the show and tell you, you know what? Everything I thought was wrong, you know, because somebody will introduce something else to me and I'll be like, oh my God, you know, what's this? But I'm pretty solid in my convictions right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't see myself moving too far away from where I am right now, because I think that is the ultimate conspiracy here. Is how they're manipulating us with our thoughts are not our own. They're not. Shouts to Neil Sanders. Neil Sanders is a good friend. And he catches a lot of crap from the alternative media, mainly because he tells the truth and he doesn't give a damn what you think about it. You know, we don't agree on everything, he and I. But there's a lot of knowledge there. And we can learn a lot from humbling ourselves a little bit and just recognizing that we've been worked. We've been manipulated. We've been controlled. Our thoughts are not our own, even here in the alternative media. In particular, all we don't need to look any further than Cambridge Analytica. Figure out what went down there and who they targeted. They targeted the Christian far right, and they targeted conspiracy theorists because we were the ones that were more susceptible to believe. We were the ones that were going to buy into it quicker and faster and more ferociously than anyone else. And that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. And it's still going on today. All you got to do is go to Reawaken America Tour and see how many people are over there giving people money based on total nonsense. Here we are.
Yeah. We have friends that are having Clay Clark on every other week, man.
I tell them I can't have Clay Clark on my show. Can I? Probably. I'll probably get him on.
Oh, yeah. He'll come on your show.
But it'll be a disaster. It would last 15 minutes. He would hang up on me.
Yeah. I don't know who Clay Clark is.
Don't worry. You don't want to know.
There's this this tour, the Reawaken America Tour, Deborah. And how do you describe it, Bill? It's just a MAGA influencer tour, kind of.
Yeah, it's pretty much this whole thing revolved around Donald Trump.
And it has different political pundits. It has QAnon people on it, right?
Of course.
It has Judy Mikovits on it. You know, different medical people, stuff like that. Is Peter McCullough on it?
Yes. Almost everybody involved.
Robert Malone.
Robert Malone. All these people have shown up, but almost everybody involved is in some way, shape, or form, whether they know it or not, under a QAnon umbrella.
Yeah.
They may not, they may even denounce the name QAnon. They may say, we're not associated with this. But they still subscribe to the ideas behind the QAnon. They're like, oh, QAnon doesn't exist. That's nonsense. But, you know, all of this other stuff, you know, that's going on, you know.
Brilliance of it. I mean, like, they got the moon landing in there, you know?
Well, they have 9/11 truth in there.
I mean, that's my moon landing is my litmus test, you know, for people. So it's like,
you know, and that's my issue. They've lumped in all of the conspiracy theories together. And it just serves to discredit anything because it's so easily disproven. The Reawaken America tour is so easily taken apart. You know, on the grift, they're preying on the faith of good people. You know, people that believe in God and believe in spiritual warfare, and there may very well be spiritual warfare going on to some degree. But they don't know that while they're fighting a war against the enemy, they're on the side of the enemy. You know, the enemy's the one manipulating them. But, you know, they're just, I'm sure Clay Clark, I don't know if Clay Clark is a good guy or not. I really don't. Like, I'd like to say that he is and he's a true believer. You know, I don't know Clay Clark from a hole in the wall. I know it wouldn't go well if I got him on an interview. Because I'd actually push back. The alternative media doesn't do that. Clay Clark comes on and they worship the guy, you know? Just like they do a Steve Bannon. He comes on some of these shows. He's been on Tim Pool. They don't give him anything. They don't give him any. It's very easy to have a really compelling interview with Steve Bannon. Serve up all the nonsense he's done.
Yeah.
But Mr. Bannon, what do you mean by shoveling the zone with shit? What does that mean, sir? Very simple. Ask him. He'll tell you. You know, that's his phrase. He's like, just fill it all with crap. Just give them all the crap they want. Just fill it up. Muddy the waters. These people are mind warfare geniuses.
And it's come out that he's practicing chaos magic, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. He's at least aware.
Yeah.
Right? If he's not a full on practitioner, he's at least aware of it. I forget the name of the book. I had the author on The Fringe, and we got into a little bit of it. And what Steve Bannon believes, but out of order there is chaos.
Is it literally that one about the
out of chaos there is order? I'm sorry, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, are you talking about that book that talks about, like, I think Greg Carlwood had that guy on too. It's a book about like all the 4chan stuff and how it's chaos magic and all that book.
No, I don't think that's the one. I think I know which one you're talking about. And I wanted to have that guy on, but I haven't been able to reach him. Hold on, I'll tell you which one it is. It's been a long time since I had him on.
Yeah, it was a while back.
And I don't remember the name of the book. I have it here. Hold on. If I can find it.
No,
I don't know. But anyway, I had him on and we spoke about a lot of that stuff. And Steve Bannon dabbles in the occult. And that's why he does what he does. You know, he's a really smart guy. I can't deny how smart the guy is. But it's very easy to sit down and have and push back on him just a little bit, even on the election stuff. You know, he came out and said it. He's like, oh man, you know, we're probably going to lose. If we lose, Donald Trump is going to say we won, and we're just going to go along with it and continue to say we won. You know, I don't understand how people in the alternative media have dug their heels into the ground on this when so much evidence has come out. You see Roger Stone be a complete piece of filth and lie on camera. You see Steve Bannon lying, boldface. Donald Trump taking $250 million of your dollars and you're still cool with it. I don't get it. I can only come up with total mind control. Maybe that's the way my mind is built to deal with this stuff, because I don't understand it any other way. I don't get it. I don't know maybe I just don't have the capacity to do so. I don't know. But the only way I can think that something like this, such a dastardly personality, one of the worst people on earth, a man baby, and then people tell me I have Trump derangement syndrome, and then the alternative media turns around and bashes Joe Biden relentlessly. Do they have Biden derangement syndrome?
I definitely do.
Hey, no, it's not even a term. That it doesn't even exist, right? You can go ahead and bash Biden all day long, and it's all good. Go ahead and bash Biden. But let's call it what it is. You have Biden derangement syndrome, sir. You should really go get that checked out. You know, I mean, let's be fair here. You know, so they take this guy who, by all accounts, is a piece of filth. Even the people that support him, I mean, on a high level, like on a political level, like his political friends or his business affiliates, they have been on record saying that he's a piece of crap. But then they turn and say something else because they want to benefit from whatever it is that he's doing. Look at Ramaswamy. Vivek,
yeah,
sucking up to the dude hardcore. Why?
Because he wants to be vice president
of the United States.
Yep,
that's simple. Tim Scott saying nothing. There's the girl.
Well, Tim Scott, let's be honest, might be mentally retarded. He might have Down syndrome.
I don't know.
That's not racism. That's just the truth.
Yeah, you just calling somebody out for what you see. But so many people are positioning themselves for that. You know, Lauren Boebert wants to get the call. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's going to be very offended.
That's where we draw the line, pal.
She's going to be very offended if she doesn't get the call, you know. I can't understand how they've managed to get half of the population of the United States to side with this guy. And it's the sad state of the American people, where we are economically and where we are ideologically. And that's the problem here. And that's how they were able to co-op.
I mean, I get it, man. I mean, mm-hmm. I've come from rural white America, working class America. That's where I live, man.
Right.
And if you look at anything on the, you know, even left of a millimeter of the center, somebody could say, like, at least Donald on the surface, at least Donald Trump doesn't hate me. Probably does, but at least he doesn't outwardly say it. You know, that's all it takes, I think.
Well, this goes back to Building 7. You know, it's like, how could they not understand that building came down without anything hitting it? You don't think there's something wrong with that? So let's apply that same knowledge to Donald Trump, that same frame of mind. But well, you know, he's speaking up for the common man. Since when has he ever done anything for you or for your kind? And I mean the common man, right? Since when, if any of us knocked on the doors of Mar-a-Lago, we'd be arrested and jailed ASAP.
I got you, man. But I'm just saying, on the surface,
No. So, I mean, the only way I can rationalize it in my mind is mind control. And then I start looking at Cambridge Analytica. And what is Cambridge Analytica? Mind control, admittedly. Chris Wiley, who was the Cambridge Analytica whistleblower, amongst others, came out and said it. Like, it's mind control. We created a script. We tell them where to go. We tell them what to do, where to infiltrate. We took 15,000 data points from every American on social media and used it. Facebook leaks. They created fake accounts on Twitter. They did this. This isn't a conspiracy theory. On Twitter, on freaking on Facebook, fake Patriot accounts to sucker people in. It worked brilliantly. And what did they seek to do? Yeah, elect Donald Trump, and that kind of worked to a certain degree. I believe, and this is something I can't prove, I can only prove circumstantially, I believe it was to divide. And they pulled that off 100%, haven't they?
Got it. Yeah, I mean, we're more divided than we've ever been. I think it started with Obama. I mean, I think Obama was the race divider. I think that's where that all got going. But
it's funny you should mention Obama, because Chris Wiley used to work for the Obama administration.
Who's Chris Wiley?
He is the Cambridge Analytica whistleblower.
Got it.
He worked for the Obama administration in their social media campaigns. This is how he learned the strategies. And then he was hired by Cambridge, by the SEL group. He was hired by Cambridge Analytica to take what he learned in the Obama campaign and use it and build upon it for the Mercers and Steve Bannon, who were instrumental in putting Cambridge Analytica together. And their first choice was Ted Cruz. They were going to use Ted Cruz, charismaless Ted Cruz, who can't convince anybody to do a damn thing. They were going to use him. And somebody decided not a good idea. Steve Bannon, for one, he was like, we need Donald Trump. And they went and got the guy, and it worked.
Yeah, that's interesting that he learned that he used it first with the Obama campaign.
Right.
Let's get into a couple other little stories or things that have been going on over the summer. And I don't know. Do you think that you're like are you an everything is an op guy?
No.
I'm so not. You believe that there's some things that are actually genuine and happening for real?
Yes. The book, I found the book War on Eternity. That's the name of the book on Steve Bannon. Everybody go read it, or go listen to the episodes I did on it on The Fringe with the author of the book. It's a fantastic book. I'm glad it came back to me. But no, I don't believe that everything is an op, because everything isn't an op. Some people are incompetent and they do incompetent things, you know, like so.
Yeah. What's up? You spoke of TDS earlier. What if instead of Trump, we said that T stands for Tucker?
Tucker derangement syndrome?
Do you have TDS?
I'm not a fan of Tucker Carlson.
Okay. You
know, what's up?
Did you watch the Larry Sinclair episode of Tucker on X?
I did not.
I couldn't sleep the other night. I found myself watching a 41-minute interview with Tucker and a gay toothless guy talking about illicit sex and drug use with Barack Obama in the back of a limousine in the Chicago suburbs in, 1996 or something. I don't think Tucker is the genuine guy that he portrays himself as. I enjoy watching him though. He's, you know, kind of a guilty pleasure for me. He gives us red meat. What do you think is going on? Why is this Obama is gay, Larry Sinclair narrative popping back up to the surface right now? What is your opinion? Obama's
probably gay. And who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Who the hell cares? I don't care. I don't give a damn.
You think that's all there is to it?
Here's the deal, right? The Larry Sinclair thing isn't anything new, right?
No.
This is nothing new. I remember it back in the day in InfoWars. That's where I first heard it. And this was at least 10 years ago, maybe longer.
Yeah, I think he was
2008, 2009, I think, when I first heard of Larry Sinclair.
Yeah, because he gave the press conference at the press club in like 2006 or something like that.
Right. And we have the whole Big Mike conspiracy that everybody subscribes to, right? That Michelle Obama is a transvestite, right?
Well, I asked Deborah if Barack Obama is gay, which she now believes that he is.
Yeah.
Does that influence her thoughts
on Big Mike?
On Big Mike? No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to prove, right? It's really hard to prove that Big Mike is Big Mike, right? That's a conspiracy theory that came out of the right for the right, right? Let's put it that way. It's a lot of the conspiracy theories that we believe in.
Well, Joan Rivers kicked it off first.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And I was going to get to that. Thank you for saying it, though. That's the thing. Joan Rivers said it, and then she died. So yep. I'm like, oh, man, you know, and you can never discount that. Like, why would she say that? And she was cool with them. She's like, and she said it so matter of fact. She's like, oh, come on.
Have you ever seen that clip, Deborah?
No.
Oh, somebody is like TMZ or something.
Yeah.
Comes up to her and says, like, Joan, do you think that we're going to see a gay president anytime in the future? And she's like, we've already got one with right. Barack.
Right. And then they go, and then she goes, but he's married
and
to
she
Michelle.
She goes, Michelle's a Barack's gay. Michelle's a tranny.
Yeah.
And they go, Michelle's a what? She goes, a transgender. And it's before that word. I mean, that word was always there, but it's before people were using that word.
It's before it was thrust into the mainstream for mind control, for division, right? That's what it's been thrust into the mainstream for. They give us these volleyball issues like the trans people and argue over that. And there goes more division, right? So it was before it was fully introduced into the mainstream when Joan Rivers said it. I remember having a conversation with Kate of Gaia. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Maybe some of your listeners do back in the day.
Kate of Gaia? Was Kate she on Gaia?
She was a transvestite. Or something. I don't even know 100%, but she was a part of the alternative media for your name being illegal, that you having a name was illegal, and
the sovereign citizen type stuff.
All of that stuff.
Maritime law.
Right. So I had a conversation with him. And he told me, well, Michelle Obama is a transvestite. And I'm like, how do you know that? She's like, well, it takes one to know one. Like, what do you think I am? Come on. She's clearly that or whatever, you know, but going back to why this narrative has popped up again. And Brissom was asking me that the other day. And I told him, I'm like, it's Obama sent out those letters to his girlfriend at the time, saying that he spent days and nights fantasizing about dudes, right? So that resurfaced, right? And there you have it, right? So then Larry Sinclair obviously pops up because he said he had oral sex and smoked cocaine with Barack Obama in Chicago. Apparently, back in the day, I remember the story was around that Barack Obama would go to the Purple Club, I think it was.
Lifetime membership at some high-end bathhouse or something
with
in Chicago.
With Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah, with Rahm Emanuel.
And this is all probably true, you know? Like, you know, hey, you know, and the thing is, it's distracting us from what's really going on, probably. You know, so what if Barack Obama's gay? How is that going to change anything of what's going on right now?
What if it's because Michelle Obama's thinking about sticking her nose into the ring and they're trying to bring them down a peg?
If Michelle Obama decides to run for president, she's going to be the next president of the United States. Hands down, bar none. There's no debate. I mean, it's not even going to be close, Adam. She will destroy Donald Trump. Destroy him. And people are like, well, how? Okay, let it happen. I'd love to see it happen just so I could. Then again, you know what? The division would be insane, right? She would destroy.
Has she expressed interest?
No.
It's okay. It's been thrown out there. She's been asked.
People have
it.
Been speculating it because Joe Biden, you know, he's clearly not in a good position to run for president and everybody hates him.
That's
right?
Cambridge Analytica telling you that, dude.
You're not kidding, though. You're not, you know. And there's that theory that's come around to knock a peg down. First off, the people that are going to vote for her are going to vote for her regardless. Nothing that comes out is going to change this. She can be approved.
I mean, if what you're talking about came out, if the thing came out of the pants,
if the thing came
it's a landslide.
Exactly. I'm saying, if the thing came out of the pants, you can take it to the bank or go to Vegas. She, he, whatever is going to be the president of the United States. 100%.
I guess maybe trying to hide it back in the day was what they had to do.
Right.
Nowadays.
Now they don't got to hide.
A gay and a transgender. That's.
Boom. That's what we need here.
That's,
in the United
States. You know, a rocket ship to right to Pennsylvania Avenue.
Exactly. You're not kidding. But. Let's say it never comes out of the pants and she's actually a woman. I believe that she's actually a woman. Could be wrong. She could be a dude, right? Joan Rivers is. There's no reason for me to doubt Joan Rivers. I just haven't seen enough evidence to say that Big Mike is Big Mike. There is not enough evidence of that. There's just not, right? So even if she is a transvestite and we never know it, her running against Donald Trump by herself, she will slaughter Donald Trump. All right. Minorities are going to vote for her, men and women.
Well, check it out. Maybe the play is that they want Donald Trump back in office. They can't have Michelle running, so they got to run Joe Biden again.
Okay. But to Deborah's point, Michelle hasn't expressed any interest. If she expressed interest, she'd be the nominee at this point. The Democratic Party would push Biden to the side and they'd sit him down and tell him, listen, you can't do this anymore. Right now, they don't have any other options. So they're going with him because the Democratic Party just doesn't have a star to put up against Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. Since Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee, Joe Biden can win this election. That's how sad the situation here is in the United States. If the Republicans ran anyone else, they might have a shot at beating Joe Biden. But Donald Trump is so divisive. He is so unqualified that it allows for somebody like Joe Biden, who clearly is experiencing mental difficulties, to say the least, right? It's giving him a open runway into the presidency of the United States again.
I think it's great.
Think about the mind warfare that needs to go down to reelect a Joe Biden.
It's crazy, man. My dad's 80 years old, man, and he'd be a better president than Joe Biden. He can talk. He knows what's going on most of the time. Deborah knows him. He's kind of with it.
My grandma's 90 and she's got better faculties about her. God bless my grandma. I'm very, very happy that she's still around and doing her thing. Joe has had brain cancer. You know, half of his brain, some of his brain has been removed. You know, he's been through a lot. It's no surprise that
he's had his skull removed four or five times or something.
There's no surprise that this is happening. And he's still going to beat Donald Trump.
And I think it's going to be a lot of fun, man.
It's going to be a disaster because the right is already calling. They're already saying that it's going to be rigged already right now. They're already laying it out. They did this already in 2020. The same thing is happening again. They're already saying the only way Donald Trump, they're doing all of this because Donald Trump is going to win and they don't want him to win. This is political persecution, what they're doing to Donald Trump. you know, and hitting him with all these indictments. Listen, they can't pull an indictment out of thin air. The guy did something. That's why they're slapping him with indictments.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been stuff that every politician does, and it's never been chased after to this extent.
Maybe so, but they never get hit with stuff like this because, I mean, they never get hit with real indictments because the left and the right are in on it together whenever it comes to war crimes or things of the highest level. So they're never going to get held accountable for this. What Donald Trump tried to do was stab the family in the back.
Right.
That's their family, not us. We have nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump lost an election. And then, oh, how could you say that he lost an election? Yeah, he lost the freaking election. Okay, he lost it. It's very easy to think that he can lose an election when half of the country hates him. I don't understand how they say, oh, you have Trump derangement syndrome. They developed a term called Trump derangement syndrome to describe the people that hated Donald Trump. Who do you think those people are going to vote for? Donald Trump?
I mean, I've lived in California and I've lived in Portland.
That goes through the head of people. I don't get it. All right. So you mean to tell me that this guy can't lose an election? You know, like that he is Teflon, that he can't lose an election. So they have to go through all of this stuff and say, hey, first of all, the documents that he kept in his bathroom, mm-hmm. they got him dead to rights. Dead to rights. And you know what? And they say, well, Biden did it too. And Mike Pence didn't too. You want to know what the difference there is? And it's very simple to explain. Biden and Mike Pence gave them back. It's really that simple. And I don't understand how anybody that I don't understand. I'm like, I remember going on America Unplugged and saying, is Donald Trump an idiot? Or is this just a big game? I don't get it because I don't understand why he just wouldn't hand those things over. He's not reading them clearly.
Right.
Why don't you just give them back? And all of this would have went away. They got him dead to rights. He is guilty of sin with that. So they got him. The New York thing is probably bullshit. They shouldn't have done it. Right. Then he's guilty of that too, by the way. But it's just nonsense. So he paid a hooker. Right. I mean, whatever. Right. But the Georgia, he's got problems. He's on tape. He's on audio tape looking for votes. And if you want to say, oh, he was looking for an audit, well, that can be interpreted in many different ways. And when your dumbass gets on the phone and says stuff like that, get ready. Isn't he supposed to be the guy that the deep state is like fiending to get out, to get him out of the way?
Yeah, why six, are ways, you to, six ways to Sunday.
Right. Why are you giving them ammunition? Why are you stupid enough to get on the phone and like, hey, we're just looking for 11,723 votes so I can win. Can you find them? Come on, let's find them. Come on, guys, give me a break. Let's find them. Come on. And then saying that the lady, I forget the name of the lady that there's two African-American ladies that were in. That they were counting the ballots. And he straight up said that they had something to do with it and they had. It's been proved. Giuliani already came out and said that it was nonsense, that he made up the story. He had to apologize for it because he's being sued to the gills. Mm-hmm. He's going to lose that one, too. And let me tell you something. January 6th. All right. Joe Biggs. When I saw Joe Biggs got hit with 17 years, I felt bad for the guy. Felt bad. I was like, man, that's not good. I feel so sorry for this guy. Joe Biggs is a good guy. But you know what the dumbass did? He put himself on film saying these words that the right and people in the alternative come out and say, oh, these are fabricated terms that the mainstream has given to you, you know, and put these out there in the mentality of people so people can run with it. Well, no, this is Joe Biggs on the day of, go find a video. He's like, yeah, with a bunch of people around him. We raided the Capitol. Oh, what did you do? We raided the Capitol. I was on primetime with Billy Ray Valentine playing it again. What did he just say? We raided the Capitol. And then he said, we took the son bitch back. Oh, really? So it was kumbaya. Everything was good. Everybody was all peaceful, right? That's the narrative that's coming out of the right. That's the narrative that's coming out of the alternative media. Nothing happened that day. So what did Joe Biggs take back? What was he out there to do?
I don't know.
Right?
Because of his wording of it, do you agree with a 17-year sentence for that?
Dude, they were going to give him 30.
I don't agree with that either.
They went light on him. They went light on him. And it doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. We got to understand what we're dealing with.
I mean, I don't view what happened to him as anything other than him being a political prisoner at this point.
I think he lent himself to it. What was he doing in the Capitol? Why did he go in there?
I mean, why do you think he went in there? Like,
Huh? It's not my opinion at this point. It's he said it. I know why he went in there.
To raid the Capitol?
He went in there to raid the Capitol and take it back. He said it. Take it back. He wanted to take it back because Trump told him he had lost his government and he needed to fight like hell to get it back. And that's what Joe Biggs did.
Yeah.
If you and I were down there and Deborah were down there, we go down there. And they opened the door to the Capitol, like, come in. I'd be like, no, we're not going anywhere.
I know. I'm not saying it's not dumb. I'm not saying it's a dumb thing to say, but I don't agree with a 17-year sentence for that, even if they were planning on giving him
out to it, is what I mean.
Got it.
This is a seditious conspiracy that they hit him with. That's not a bullshit 2-year, 3-year slap on the wrist type thing. It's seditious conspiracy.
But that's what they're charging him with. I mean,
He admitted to it. That's the thing, Adam. You look at it this way. He went to court. There's a jury of people there, and they show you this video. They don't know anything else about the guy. They don't know anything about the situation.
I don't know the guy either.
They show you this video.
If it was a guy from Antifa saying the same thing, I'd say he doesn't deserve 17 years in prison for it.
Well, they show you the video. And he says, and he's admitting to the crime that they are charging him with. He's admitting to it. We raided the Capitol. We took it back.
What's the crime and what's the consequence of what he did? Like, why? Just because it's said it's a crime doesn't mean that that's a just sentence.
I think he lent himself for the sentence, and I think they went easy on him, and I'm glad that they went easy on him. I think Joe Biggs is a good guy.
I 100% disagree. I don't think getting 17 years. I don't think we need to go into a building and walk around and get 17 years.
The thing is, if you walked into my house and you walked around, I can shoot you. This is not your house.
I mean, probably not in New York City. You'd probably get
not anywhere. I can't walk into your house. A perfect stranger walk into your house, and people will make the argument, well, the Capitol is our building. Well, good luck going in there. Good luck. It's called trespassing. Right. But not only that, he is on record getting people out there for many different instances saying that, we needed to take our country back and we needed to make every effort to do it. And then after that, he goes on his blog and says, we got to get our guns ready because there's going to be a civil war and we need to get ready. Get your guns out. Listen to the verbiage that's being used.
Yeah, but that's not a crime.
The crime is everything. And that doesn't help his case. He walked into the Capitol where he shouldn't have been, right?
Unarmed, right?
Some of the people that he's unarmed, but he said, I am taking back the Capitol. What did he take back? How did he do it?
He didn't take back anything.
But he said it. He said this. I didn't make this up. He said it, Adam. I wish I had the clip. I'd put it up. He said it.
I believe that he said it, but that doesn't.
I'm just saying whether you agree or disagree that he should have got 17 years is irrelevant. The guy is guilty because he said this. If I said this bottle of water has water in it right now, guess what? I am admitting to this. And that's literally what happened. He said, well, what are you being charged for? You're being charged for a seditious conspiracy and trying
what,
to,
I mean, what is seditious conspiracy?
Trying
mean?
To,
I don't even
trying
understand
to separate from, trying to overthrow the government pretty much is what it is. And he walked into the Capitol.
Unarmed. Right? He walked into the Capitol unarmed to overthrow
regardless,
the government.
You all right. This is what, see, I'm Latino, so this is easier for me to understand, right? You need to be careful when you're walking the streets and people are out to get you, right? People were out to get him, his dumbass. And he gave them everything they needed for them to get him. If a cop stops me on the street, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to just cooperate and do everything I need to do to get out of there alive, because you know what? They can shoot me and get away with it. And I've seen it happen.
It can happen to me too.
Anyone.
Man, so,
it can happen to anyone.
Doesn't matter whether you're Latino or not.
No, but
anybody.
I am in the inner city.
White people get shot all the time. Man.
I am in the inner city. So that's the let's take the race part of it. I am in the inner city in the hood, right? And these things happen regularly. So I am going to be nice. I get it. I am not going to give them more than they already have to take me out. Joe Biggs.
But if they did, it would still be, you still wouldn't have deserved it.
No, I wouldn't have deserved it because I didn't do anything.
But if you told the cop to go fuck himself and walked off and you got shot or you got 17 years in prison for that, and they gave you, they said like, oh, he was resisting arrest, blah, 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 blah. It still doesn't mean he deserved it.
Well, I believe that Joe Biggs, and so we're going to agree to disagree on this, but I believe that Joe Biggs committed a crime. And this is not even a belief.
I'm not saying he didn't commit a crime.
This is the fact of the matter, right? The fact of the matter is he committed a crime. He walked into the Capitol and he wasn't supposed to. Right. He went in there with the intent to take over. And that is provable because he said it. And he went in there with the intent of storming the Capitol. He said these things. Therefore, you are guilty of the crime that they are charging you with. And you are subject to the sentence that comes along with it. And the sentence was 30 years. That's what the prosecutors were asking for. They gave him 17. And I went out and I said, you know what? Damn, I felt bad for him. Damn, that's a lot of time. The kid, he has kids. And then I started investigating it. I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, why would they hit him with this? And then I'm like, oh, that's why. Because the dumbass gave them everything they needed.
You think that's the only reason you don't think it's because he's a proud boy and he's on InfoWars?
Yes, he's a proud boy. And yes, he's on InfoWars. And that is not good. Alex Jones is the
yeah, but it's not a crime.
It's a, you know what's a crime about this? I think Steve Bannon, I think Michael Flynn, I think Ali Alexander, I think all of those people should be the ones getting hit with jail sentences of 17 years and up, but they're not.
Right.
They were the ones that were responsible for getting the people down there in the first place based on a lie. Donald Trump was the one that was responsible for getting the people down there in the first place, saying that Mike Pence was going to overturn the election. There was nothing to it.
Yeah, I got it. I know all about all that stuff, man. But like
that is a crime. Did you see what happened there? Did you see what happened? I mean, there it wasn't. People were breaking windows. Proud Boys.
Oh, no. Proud Boys broke the windows?
Yeah, that is a crime, Adam.
I understand it's a crime,
he got 17 years in prison. No, there's one guy that took a shield from a cop, hit him with freaking, what is it, spray, mace, and then broke a window. Those are crimes.
Yeah,
those
but that's not it's a it's not a
he
17
only got
it's
10
not a
years
17
that.
Year that's not a 10 year crime either, man.
Then we're just going to disagree, brother.
Breaking a window is 10 years for you, man.
Breaking a window at the Capitol building with the intent to take over.
We got to make examples
out of these people.
And then the other guy, I mean, he was a Fed, this Enrico Tarrio guy. That guy got 22 years and he wasn't even there.
He was the leader of the Proud Boys. He was a Fed informant.
Yeah. So don't go work with the feds because that's what you get. But I mean, it's crazy to get 22 years in prison for an event that you weren't at.
And why?
While you're in jail.
But why were they there in the first place, man?
Why was he in jail in the first place? Like,
no, not Tario. You said for an event that he wasn't even at. But why were these people there in the first place, man? Why were they there?
Because they got tricked, man.
Yes, because they got tricked. And what did they do as a result of that treachery, as a result of those tricks? What did they do because they had a false perception of what was going on? What did they do?
They trespassed.
At best.
I'd say it's more than that.
At worst is what I would say.
At best, there were, you know, this is, what do you think?
Deborah, we haven't heard from you. Do you think going in, even if, and breaking a window and then saying, oh, I took it back, do you think that's a 17-year crime in federal prison?
What do you mean
I
took it back? Who said he took it back? Okay. Yes, I do believe that is a crime. I believe that they should not have been there. And I believe that they were tricked by Donald Trump.
Okay, you believe, I believe it's a crime as well. I believe breaking windows is a crime. I believe trespassing is a crime. Do you think that's 17 years in federal prison crime?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Oh man,
because it wasn't.
I do think that the intent was
right
to damage the government.
I agree.
Overthrow the government.
So you think he went in there to overthrow the government?
And nobody
brought guns or anything like that.
But he said it, Adam. He said it.
People say stuff.
It does matter. Words mean everything. It matters, in particular, in a court of law. It matters. He said this. Why would he say it if he didn't mean it? It doesn't matter your intent. It matters what you did. You know, but on top of that.
So your intent doesn't matter?
But you can prove the intent on top of that. But this guy walked in there when he wasn't supposed to. This guy has admittedly been behind with the Proud Boys and far right ideology, trying to supporting Donald Trump and saying that the election of Joe Biden was illegitimate. Right. He was saying, and that's not a crime to say. Right. To say that it was illegitimate.
Yeah. But neither is association with the Proud Boys or whatever you want to.
He also said,
you know, but it's being.
But the Proud Boys were like down there. They led the charge to go into the Capitol. This is provable, Adam. They led the charge. And what I'm trying to tell you is,
but whether we agree with
17 years or not, it's irrelevant. They gave these people all the ammunition to hit them with 17 years. They were like, here you go. Do what you want with me. Here you go. Here's this selfie video that I'm putting up on YouTube saying, yeah, I did this. I did everything you said that I was doing. I did it. Yeah. And it was dope. I loved it. It was so fantastic because they were celebrating. Well,
let me ask you this then. And we're getting back into like us both being tricked and steered a certain way. Mm-hmm. I live close to Portland, Oregon, and there was a siege on our, you know, whatever, the federal courthouse here for, you know, over a month straight where people were. You know, attacking the federal building, breaking windows there, attacking cops, taking their shields from them, hitting them with them, shooting, throwing flashbangs at the cops. You know, you saw the videos, and those guys would go to get arrested, go to county jail, and then get let out uncharged an hour later. Why is that allowed?
Do we know of every case? Do we know how many people got charged with what? Do we know specifics? This is one of the.
I don't think anybody went to prison.
We don't know that. We have no idea. You know, and it's a very different thing to storm the Capitol for one, and this is their words, not mine. You know, but regardless, we don't know. This is a narrative that was fed by the right in order to demonize.
Yeah, if you remember, I don't know, man. It's just weird because it seems like it's all one way to me.
It could be. It could be all one way. The thing is, we can't afford to give these people ammunition. We can't, right? We can't afford to do it. And and they're giving them all the ammunition in the world.
Yeah, really, really dumb on their part to do that.
And that's why he got hit with 17 years. Yeah, whether we think it's true or not, whether we think it's legitimate or not, They admitted to the crime that they were charged against. I was with you. You would have got me here 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I'd have been like, oh, man, Adam, you're right, man. 17 years is too much. Until I saw that video. And then I'm like, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? He literally admitted to the crime. He literally admitted to it. I think Alex Jones needs to be behind bars. I think Rudolph Giuliani needs to be behind bars. Sidney Powell needs to be behind bars. Wood needs to be behind bars. Ali Alexander, all of these people. For
do you give the same credence though to the people on the left doing the exact same thing? Do you think
on the left stormed the Capitol? And this is the thing with the alternative
media. In the summer of 2020, the city's burned.
This is the thing with the alternative media. As soon as the right does something, they point to the left. Oh, but what about them? And then in the left, they point to the right. Oh, well, what about them? How about you did something wrong? And you did something wrong. Right. And you did something wrong. So we're holding everybody accountable. How about that? But every time something goes down on the right and people get triggered, right, or they don't know how to argue, they'll just go, well, how about, and I'm not saying this about you, Adam. I'm just saying, how about that? How about the left? Like Donald Trump always says, oh, look, Joe Biden, he's getting away scot-free. Does that negate what you did, brother? It does not. If Joe Biden's getting away scot-free, handle yours. Say that I didn't do it. I am innocent. Right. But what he does is he points in that direction. And that's what the alternative media does. They're like, oh, but Hillary Clinton. What does that have to do with Donald Trump? Oh, but yeah, Hunter
Biden. I don't give a shit
Hunter Biden, you know, it's the whole freaking
people.
Thing.
But, you know, and that Tario guy, that's a fishy one, too, because that guy was a Fed. But and Proud Boys, whatever. I think I think that they're blown out of proportion, what their whole deal is and how scared the left is of some joke thing that started from Gavin McInnes. I think it's very, very strange. But I don't know. From my viewpoint, I just see it going one way. And I see a lot of these people are as political prisoners, you know. And
Mike Huckabee recently went on his show and said that the American public needed to be careful because what was going down was going to result in a violent, that the election was going to be not decided by ballots, but decided by guns. This is what Mike Huckabee said. He went on air and said that reckless shit. In a time like this, feeding this to the people in order to get them to go out there and take action. Because while the majority of the people that were out there in January 6th went there well-intentioned and they weren't going to do any of this stuff, there was a small percentage of them that were ready to take action and do it because they admitted to it. And it was more than just Joe Biggs. There's people out there that will do what Mike Huckabee just said. This is what I'm talking about. There needs to be... We need to get to the bottom of this and we need to sort it out and admit when things are wrong. We need to admit when people that have done something wrong have done it wrong. And if they get hit with jail sentences, we need to be like, all right, well, he's kind of guilty. You know, he's kind of guilty. I think Joe Biggs is a good guy.
Yeah, and I don't think I ever said that he was innocent. So.
Yeah, I think he's a good guy.
I never heard of him until I heard of
him. He used to work for InfoWars.
Never an InfoWars guy. You know,
he was a veteran of many wars. You know, he has a kid. He pleaded to the judge and said, please take it easy because I got a kid that I want to take to school. And she was sexually abused and she needs her father. He pleaded. Yeah. I felt bad about that. That hurt my soul, man, listening to that. And then I saw that video. Man, well, you gave them everything they needed. You gave them everything they needed. It was a high crime against the New World Order, what Donald Trump pulled off, trying to stay in power. Because this has nothing to do with the people of the United States of America and everything to do with an internal struggle within the elite. Okay, and he did this. He did this, and he used us to do it. He used the people. Not only did he use us to get us out there on January 6th, but he used us to fill his pockets, and he continues to do that crap.
Yeah.
And we're out here in the alternative media attempting to make excuses for him, and I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't.
If people have a visceral reaction to anything that I've said, go look into it. Some people are not going to want to agree with anything that I've said, and I totally understand. It's a very divisive time. I don't know how to get you on my side on this.
Yeah.
But I think if someone takes $250 million of my dollars, I'm going to be upset.
I think the fact that you understand what's going on and how this was an op to the highest level and that it tricked some people, it seems to me like you might have like a little bit more compassion than wishing that they had got 17 years for breaking.
I'm not wishing anything. Trespassing. I never said that I wished. You've hit me a couple of times, but I never said that. Well, I never said that I wished anything. In all actuality, I said that I felt bad for the guy, and I still do. But what I said was, I didn't even say that he deserved 17 years. I just said I can understand it. I can understand why they gave him 17 years. He gave them all the ammunition, and this is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that the guy actually deserves 17 years. I don't know. Okay. But he gave them all the ammunition for it. Right. Everything.
Okay. He was like, if that's our miscommunication, I agree with that. I agree that he gave them all the ammunition to ruin his life as much as they want to ruin these people.
He absolutely did. And this is what when I brought up the analogy of me being Latino, which really I wanted to say me being in an urban city, in growing up in the ghetto, right? We cannot give these people the ammunition. We just cannot. Otherwise, we're looking for something. We're looking for trouble. We're looking for 17 years, or we're looking for a cough. And that's what Joe Biggs and the people that went out there on January 6th did, ultimately. Gave them an excuse, and they took advantage of it. I would have never walked into that Capitol. I'm sorry. They did. They did it. We need to stop making excuses for them. And I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying people in general in the alternative media, we need to stop making excuses for them. We need to stop supporting Donald Trump. And that doesn't mean that we're going to support Joe Biden, because automatically the visceral reaction goes, oh, so what are you? You're a liberal? No, that doesn't mean that. We need to stop. Who has our best interest at heart? Who's looking out for us?
I mean, we know the real answer to that one, right?
Only us.
Yeah, it's the guy upstairs, man. That's
only us and God. That's it, right? Yeah. I mean, that's all we got. But no, man, it's a problem. It's a problem. And when you film yourself saying this, and that goes back to Donald Trump not giving these documents back. I'm like, I just don't get it. I don't understand. Don Jeffrey says it's a giant stage, that it is just a play. I'm more and more, I'm like, maybe he has a point, man, because I just don't understand what's going on. Because I would hope that I wasn't that stupid to do something like that.
I don't think you are. I think you're much more advanced than that, man. So.
Joe Biggs is a smart guy. But he thought he was taking back his country. He thought, and that's the genius of this operation. It's the genius of this mind control. It's a live action role playing game. People are invested in it because they think they have a role to play, that they are digital warriors. That was a term coined by Steve Bannon, not necessarily coined, but not by Bannon, by Michael Flynn.
Flynn, yeah.
Made popular by Michael Flynn.
That's what I was going to say earlier, is he should wrap out that oath. He should turn that oath into a MAGA rap.
For real, with Fergadio Blow.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, like, people became invested in this, and they really believed that their nation was being taken from them. And that's why they went there. They went there because Donald Trump told them to, when he said that Mike Pence had the power to overturn the election on January 6th. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is not debatable. This is hardcore truth. He said it. He said it. And that's why people went down there. Oh, we were having a kumbaya. We're quick to point out the mostly peaceful protest and Antifa. But then we look at January 6th and we try to make excuses. And we tried to involve Antifa. Oh, that was Antifa that went into that building. Well, I don't think Joe Biggs was Antifa, was he?
Yeah.
Right? Who went into that building?
I can tell you that the local left-wing mainstream media here says that all those Antifa guys down at our federal court building are infiltrated by MAGA too. So it goes both ways.
Maybe so, sir.
Yeah. One last question before we get you out of here. Recently, I have looked into the eyes and spoken with someone who is 100% noited, paranoid out of their mind because they've gone too far into this world that we exist in.
Mm.
And it is really affecting their life badly. And probably not going to be able to come back from it.
Oh boy.
You've been at this game for a long time. What is the key to keeping your sanity when you look into the pit?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't know.
You don't know. You're not being successful right now.
Many times I thought about abandoning this and not doing any anymore and just looking in a different direction and going and enjoying my life.
Take next summer off, man.
Not that I don't enjoy my life, because I do. I love my life. I have a great life. I have a great family. You know, I've been so blessed. You know, the Lord looks out for me. He treats me better than I deserve. But a lot of the times, and it'll drive you insane.
Yeah.
And there's no profit in it. You know, some people profit in it or whatever. And normally those are the guys that are feeding you a ton of lies. If you want to talk about the truth, there's no profit in it. There's only hate.
You got to go start shilling t-shirts, bro.
You know, you get a bunch of hate and accusations and, you know, luckily as inactive as I've been with the fringe, I still have a loyal audience that listens and that tunes in week after week. And I love that. And I wish I could give them more, but I'm not in the business of having people on that are going to lie to people. Sorry. So more than half of the people that I had on, I just don't have on anymore.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I'm not going to have somebody on that's going to be deceitful at some point. I don't know. I probably will. And then I won't have them on again, you know, but if I know something, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not. And I think a lot of the people are well-meaning, but I'm not trying to push the grift. And I'm also not here to be popular. I'm not here for clicks. I'm not here for money. I've never asked anybody for money, you know. End of the day, I'm just going to tell you what I think, the way I see it. And unfortunately, I may not be the best messenger, you know, for people that to convert people. I may not be that guy, but there are some people that resonate with what I have to say. I'm just based on the truth, the fact of the matter, whatever I can prove. And whatever I can is tangible, right? That's what I'm trying to. And I love speculating about things, but I present them in that fashion. This is pure speculation. This isn't truth. I don't know it. I have no idea. I'm just a guy in the kitchen, right? I just put it out there like that, you know. But I'm not going to go along to get along like so many people did during the pandemic, and so many people did jumping on the Trump train. And making money and getting clicks and getting people behind them. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. You know, and if you don't like what I had to say about Joe Biggs, hey man, go call Joe Biggs up, man. Go help him out. Ask him why he put that thing up on YouTube. Ask him why did you do that shit? Why? Why did you take a selfie video of yourself saying that crap? I thought you were there peacefully. Ask all these people. Ask that other Proud Boy why he broke the window of the Capitol building. Ask him, why did you do that? I thought it was peaceful. I thought it was peaceful. I didn't. What were you doing? Why did so many of you come out and say that you were taking back the government? What were you taking? Who took it from you? Why were you going down there? So these are obvious questions to me, just like Building 7 is an obvious thing to me. And we spoke about this earlier at the top of the hour, I think. And we spoke about, I don't understand how people don't see what happened with Building 7. Well, I don't understand how people don't think it's a crime to walk into the Capitol building uninvited. I don't get it, right? And I don't know why we would make excuses for these people, you know, especially when they come out and admit stuff. And I'm not saying that you're making excuses, Adam. I know the debate between me and you is how many years the guy got, right? I'm just here to tell you they were going to give him 30. That's what was asked. And they gave him less than that. They were going to give Tario more than that, and they gave him 22. They took leniency on all of these people. Look at Donald Trump. He didn't get mugshotted up until Georgia. Talk about preferential treatment. Me, they'd have tied me up. They'd have put me in cuffs. They'd have beaten the trash out of me. Then they would have took my mugshot and not released me for 3 days. That's what would have happened to me. There's a difference here. They want to talk about the different tier systems and the different legal systems. Well, you look no further than the God Emperor that everybody supports. Look no further. And it pisses me off, Adam. It upsets me to no end. But I don't care if people don't like it. I'm not the best messenger for it. I'm still going to tell you what I think.
Right.
You don't have to listen. You don't have to listen. But ultimately, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I dare you, please. I want you to. I don't want to be the contrarian voice. I don't want to do that. I want to be just cool with everyone. Be like, all right, fine. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's keep going. Let's do this. But that is just not the case. I don't want to swim upstream. I don't want to do it. So please give me an excuse to go the other way. But you can't, because you don't have the facts behind you. And that's just the end of it.
So you haven't kept your sanity is what you're saying.
No.
Okay.
I've tried, Adam. I've tried. No, I think I have to a certain degree, but there is no, once you fall into this stuff, you're never the same.
Yeah.
After September 11th, 2001, I was never the same. And then after the 2005, I was never the same. I'll never be the same.
Right.
And I don't regret it. I'm glad I am who I am. But it's just to tell you, you will never be the same again. Unfortunately, that's just the fact of the matter. And that's not always a good thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, I mean, we had, I was losing it. Springtime here on the farm, it was super busy and I was stressed out like you couldn't believe, and had some really bad stuff happen here. And I just said, I got to take the summer off. Yeah. I took the summer off, didn't do anything. Listened to a lot of podcasts, still kind of stayed on top of stuff a little tiny bit. Didn't look at the news one bit, listened to No Agenda for my news. And that was it, man. And it did wonderful things for my mental health. And I'm back now and happy to get into it again. And if it ever gets to the point where I'm not, take another 3 month break and see how it feels, you know? I think people need to just do this to the point until it's not fun. And be willing.
It stopped being fun for me a long time ago. A long time ago.
I don't know, the man. Maybe give it a minute. Go help out Don and Tony with their shows and take a break from doing your own deal.
It's a duty. It's not necessarily fun. It used to be fun. This isn't fun. There's nothing fun about this anymore.
Yeah.
We've walked. If you still think it's fun, there might be a problem, right? Or if we're talking about ghosts and cryptids, fine, that's fine. But mind control, there's nothing fun about that, right? There's absolutely nothing fun about it.
I mean, for me, like, researching parapolitics is fun.
Fine, you know, but finding out that you're mind controlled isn't fun.
Yeah.
Or finding out the crimes of the people you've elected, that's not fun. You know, maybe it's interesting, right? Maybe it's an interesting thing. It's something you're passionate about. Maybe fun is the wrong way to describe, right? Yeah. And I just did, the only reason I came up with this is because I just did this. I did it on AM Wake Up. I'm like, talking about 9/11, it's fun. And I took it right back on air. I was like, wait a minute. No, it's not fun. It's interesting. You know, and I want to know about it and I'm passionate about it, but it's not fun. You know, so I just I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to use my, and I'm the worst with words. And sometimes I'll say things and they're misinterpreted because I think about them in one way and I think everybody else is going to think about them the same way. But I'm trying to get better at that.
You're a spicy Latino.
Right. I'm trying to get better at it, you know. But yeah, ultimately, it's not fun to tell people that there's a fire going on and nobody's listening. There's a fire here. Come help me put it out. And nobody's listening. That's not cool, you know.
Yeah. But you know what, man?
What's up?
There's a good analogy they tell you in AA about an apartment building that's on fire. This guy, it's just a way to show people. It's just an analogy for sobriety and people that want to be sober. This guy's driving at nighttime, sees an apartment complex on fire, gets out of the car, goes and bangs on this door. And he's like, the house is on fire. The apartment's on fire. The apartment's on fire. Come on out. And then the person keeps going, no, it's not. I'll be fine. You know, over and over and over again. And then like, he just continues to worry about this guy who doesn't believe that the apartment's on fire. And then he forgets to go about all these other apartments that he could have gone and banged on the door, you know? And if the people don't want to hear it, you got to move on to the people that do and leave the other ones in the dust.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't know. It's just a thankless job. It's not even a job.
So I guess I thank you all the time, bro. Thank you for your service.
I appreciate you, Adam. I thank you. And I thank Deborah, you know, really, like, I mean, there's not a lot of people that see things the way I see them, you know, and the thing I was swimming downstream for a long time. And then I was like, damn, this is the wrong way. This is the wrong way. So I want to turn around, even if it's tough. I want to go the right way. That's what I want to do, ultimately. If that means that I'm going to alienate people, then it is what it is. Maybe I don't know the right way. I'm not the guy, right? I'm not the guy to communicate the information. Maybe I'm not, you know, but I feel like I need to talk about it. So for however long I feel like I need to talk about it, I'm going to. And then when I don't want to talk about it anymore, I'll fold it up and put it away. I announced earlier this year that this might be my last year doing the Fringe. Right. I did announce that. I don't know if I'll keep that promise. Things have been going really well and there's still a fairly decent audience there, especially after Free World. So many people came up to me, you know, and they were so kind. And I'm like, oh, man, that's really cool. It kind of made me feel good about doing it, you know, but I don't rule it out. I could I'm doing Free World, you know, I'm going to continue doing that, you know, but I don't know. I am passionate about this. It's fun for me to do podcast. I just don't like the information. I still like doing professional wrestling podcast. That's fun.
Yeah.
You know, because it's nonsense, you know, and talking nonsense is cool.
Yeah.
You know, but the state of the world is not fun. It's not. We're not in a good place.
Have to agree with that.
Thank you, Deborah.
I'm optimistic. I'm having a fun time, guys. I guess I'm different than both of you.
I'm having fun. That doesn't mean that the stuff I'm talking about is fun. I appreciate my life.
Yeah.
I have two beautiful kids. I have a beautiful wife. I've overachieved in life at this point. You know, I just got my master's degree. You know, I got a whole new career. You know, I met Tony Arterburn, who is a freaking angel on earth, you know, and we're doing things together, right? And so there's a lot to be thankful for. My mother is beautiful. My grandmother's still alive, and she's a wealth of knowledge. I have beautiful sisters. I have beautiful cousins. I have beautiful friends. I couldn't ask for anything else. I'm very happy, you know. So I've lived a blessed life, you know, and I'm very appreciative for it. But I also realize that the state of the world is shit. Both things can happen at once. I can understand that something is seriously wrong while I am living in my very happy reality. You know, because just because I'm happy doesn't mean the rest of the world is happy. And if the rest of the world isn't happy, if my next door neighbor is a slave, that means I'm probably a slave in some capacity, right? Is if as Americans, we let a certain sector of people not get their way, that means everybody's not getting their way at some point. We need to understand freedom. We need to understand true freedom, and a lot, especially on the right. The right is quick to take away things that they don't believe in, and then they talk about freedom. That's not freedom. That's you getting your way and not caring about what happens to other people. So if you want freedom, real freedom, you have to take into account everyone else. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to take everybody else into account and improve the world for myself and everyone else in this little way that I can, because I don't know how else to do it. So I picked up this mic. It's all I got.
All right, then.
All right.
I think we'll let you go. I hope we didn't make you sad.
It didn't make me sad.
Okay, that's good. You should go hug your cat, man.
My cat's fine.
Yeah.
My wife is looking at me kind of weird, though.
Tell her I said hi and that I'm sorry.
Baby Adam says hi. He says he's sorry. She waved.
BRV.
Yeah, man.
How can we all support you?
You can come over and listen to the Infinite Fringe, infinitefringe.podbeam.com, the Infinite Fringe on Apple Podcast. I'm going to be updating that soon. I'm going to have some people on, you know, it's going to be fun. I don't know what I'm going to cover. I don't know. So tune in and find out. And to anybody that's ever listened to anything that I've done, thank you. I appreciate you. America Unplugged, which is me, Don Jeffries, and Tony Arterburn. And we cover the headlines every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern. And that's something I do quite regularly because Tony is instrumental in making it happen. So that's dope. And I love that show. I do. That I do really like doing because I get to sit there with my friends and talk to them for an hour. You know, that's very fun. Like, I enjoy doing this podcast with you guys. It's been too long, you know. Both of you, I would love for both. Adam has been there, but I'd love for you to come on, Deborah, because I need somebody to back me up. Okay. So if you would come on, that would be fantastic at some point. But AmericaUnplugged.com, America Unplugged on Rockfin, 12 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. Come check us out. And freeworld.fm, it's launching at the end of the month or at the beginning of October. Go to freeworld.fm.com and freeworld.fm. And put in your email address and we'll tell you when we're ready to rock. And there's a lot of people in the alternative media, some that I agree with, some that I disagree with, but all of them are good people and they all believe in what they're talking about, unlike others in the alternative media that just want your money. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to do something different and provide a free speech outlet, whether we agree with it or don't agree with it, but good people, you know, good people that mean well. That's what we're trying to do. That. So come over to freeworld.fm if you so choose and listen. At some point, you're not going to be able to avoid it. All of your favorite personalities will be there and you will have to go to freeworld.fm. So I'm telling you now, just get a jump on it. Go sign up. And I think that's all I got. I mean, I'm doing professional wrestling things here and there. Shout out to the PW Hustle, WLR, Hameen Media. You know, and that's always fun to talk about that. But that's it. I got nothing else. Check me on Twitter if you can find me. I'm there sometimes. I'm rarely on Instagram. I just like to see everybody else's stuff, not necessarily put up anything. So I won't even give that out. I'm horrible at social media. I'm horrible at promoting. But I try regardless. And that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got, Adam and Deborah. Thank you guys so much for bringing me on the show. Sorry I caused so much commotion. Sorry for the hate mail you're going to get, Adam. Well, thank you, Deborah.
It's all good, man. I was going to try to steer us away from Cambridge Analytica. We'll avoid it next time. We'll have more fun and not yell at each other. We're still all good, though. Deborah, final thoughts.
Head is spinning once again. I just, you know, so many of the things that you are so you just have so much information and depth on. I have the surface level. I need to get deeper.
Right on. Well, with those, with that beautiful final thought, Deborah, that was amazing. we're going to get y'all out of here. Okay. BRB, right. Thanks. You're the best, man. Deborah, love you guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye,
Deborah. Bye, everybody.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots, playing God all day, deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.